Hello, my name is Hannah, speaking to you on a recorded line. What is the name of the person you're transferring?
I'm nobody's transferring me. I was told to call this number.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, my name is Hannah, on a recorded line. Are you Catherine?
Yes.
Okay, it's nice to meet you. Well, were you looking to see if you may participate in the Depo Provera lawsuit today?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Perfect. We can try to see if we are able to assist you here. But before we do that, I do want to confirm some basic information for you first. I have your first name here as Catherine. That's K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E. And last name, is that Medbury? M-E-D-B-E-R-R-Y?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. And is this going to be the best phone number for you? 520-612-6746?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, perfect. And are you currently a resident of the U.S.?
Yes.
Okay, great. And have you already found an attorney to assist you on this, or this would be your first time?
No, this is my first time contacted.
Okay, gotcha. So you are willing to affirm then that you had not signed documents or sought legal representation from any other law firm. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
Got it. And did you take the depo shot for at least 1 year, having at least 4 separate injections in a year?
Yes, ma'am. I took them from 1990 to 1993.
1990 to 1993, okay.
And I actually got pregnant on it.
Oh, I see. Okay, and were you at that point then diagnosed with meningioma after taking the depo shots for at least a year?
No, I wasn't actually diagnosed. I went through bloody hell because nobody knew this was happening.
Okay.
I didn't actually get diagnosed until 2022.
Wow.
And then I had to be fast-tracked mm-hmm. into Chapel Hill to have urgent surgery because by the time they finally diagnosed me, mm-hmm. I was losing eyesight in my right eye. I was having tonic-clonic seizures and myoclonic seizures
mm-hmm. I see.
And just declining rapidly. I lost almost 100 pounds. I couldn't eat.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. What was it that you were diagnosed with back in 2022 that required you to have that surgery?
I have, I still have some of it in there. They weren't able, by the time they diagnosed me, it got so big, they couldn't get it all out.
Okay.
Without removing my right eye nerve, which would cause permanent blindness.
I see. Jeez, I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
Do you remember what it was called that they had diagnosed you with?
It was a meningioma. I can't say the word very well.
Is that meningioma?
There you go. That's exactly it.
Okay. Was it meningioma of the brain or of the spine?
Correct. It's of the brain.
Okay.
And it was encapsulating the right eye nerve and some other thing in my brain. I don't know. They had to detach it from 2 different places.
Okay.
I can look it up in my medical chart and give you the exact diagnosis.
No, that's okay. We'll be able to move forward with the meningioma, and of course, we'll be able to pull the records for you, so that would be fine.
Okay.
Now, I know that you said it was 2022 that you were unfortunately diagnosed with the meningioma. Do you have the exact month and perhaps the day that you were diagnosed?
I can look it up.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, if you can do that. No worries. We can take our time with this.
Okay. It's going to be... October 30th of 2022.
October 30th of 2022. Okay. Thank you. And do you happen to recall how it was that they had diagnosed you? Was it a CT scan, an MRI, or did they do both?
They did both, but it was the MRI that confirmed it.
That confirmed the meningioma of the brain? Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. Okay. I'll go ahead.
And you know what? I'm sorry. I told you the wrong date. October 30th was the date of my surgery.
Okay, got it. October 30th, surgery, okay.
So
okay,
the
so you
actual...
must have been diagnosed a few days or at least a week before that, is that right?
Yeah, it would have been right before that. Because
okay.
they only had me wait. They only had me wait like 4 days because by the time they diagnosed me, I was just, they were afraid I was going to stroke.
Oh, no, that's terrible. Yeah, I'm very sorry that you had to endure all of that. For the date of diagnosis, then, did you want me to put maybe October 26th of 2022?
Yeah, that would be more accurate.
Okay, no worries. We'll go ahead and do that. And what's your date of birth?
2/17/72.
Okay, so I have here February the 27th of 1972. Is that right?
No, February 17th.
Oh,
17.
Oh, 17. Okay, my apologies. Thank you for that. Okay, so I have February 17th of 1972. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Besides yourself, are you aware of anyone else that was also affected by Depo-Provera or not to your knowledge?
Not to my knowledge. I didn't know anything about this until you guys reached out to me.
Right, of course. Okay, well, thank you for that. Was it the name brand Depo-Provera that you were using?
I believe so.
Okay, so it wasn't like the generic version or sub-Q, it was Depo-Provera, right?
Yes, ma'am. That's what my doctor called it.
Okay, got it. And I know that you said that you use it for at least a year. So I was actually looking at it here. It looks like they actually didn't release Depo-Provera until 1992. From the time frame of 1992 up until when you stopped it, did you use it for at least a year?
Yes, I definitely used it for a year because my son was born in 1993 and I was actually had an injection while I was pregnant because I didn't know I was pregnant.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, so you are able to confirm then that from that time frame that you had at least 4 different injections. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so for the start date, because I know that you said that you used it for a whole year, when did you want to say that you had used it? Did you want to say that you used it from, you know, as an estimate here, January 1st of 1992 up until, you know, when it was that you became pregnant with your son in 1993?
That would be fine, yes.
So I'll go ahead and put the start date as January 1st of 1992. Is that accurate?
Ma'am, honestly, to my best of my knowledge, that would make sense.
Okay.
But I don't remember that far back.
Okay, no worries. What month was it in 1993 that your son was born?
12/12/1993.
Okay, so that would mean that you, so 9 months before that would have been March, and you said that you were still pregnant when you had your last injection. Is that right?
That's correct.
Did you want to go ahead and put that your last injection would have been about maybe April of 1993. Does that sound about accurate to you? Again, these are just estimates.
Hold
yeah.
on. April, May, June, July, August. No, it would have been after April because I was
okay.
6 months pregnant.
6 months pregnant. Okay, so did you want to put June then around there? June
it would be. It would have been in the summertime, yeah, so it would have been June.
Okay. Gotcha. And again, these are just estimated dates. I'm going to go ahead and put January 1st of 1992 to about June 1st of 1993. Sound about right to you?
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds right. Yeah, because it was two weeks or 3 weeks after my last injection that I found out I was pregnant.
I see. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's insane that was the case for you. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was awful. I went in because I thought I was having a reaction to the shot.
Right.
or like the flu or something. And I went into the doctor and he's like, well, when did you last take a pregnancy test? I'm like, I haven't taken a pregnancy test. I'm on Depo-Provera.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, and that's when I found out they gave me the pregnancy test, and I'm like, what is going on?
Oh, my goodness. So it was the summertime that you had found out that you were pregnant, and then your son was born that December?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay. Okay, well, again, as it pertains to this, if there's anything that we can do to get some justice for everything that you endured, and not just for that time, but obviously up until your surgery in 2022, that's what we want to do, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and for the HIPAA consent forms, can you please confirm your gender for me?
Female.
Perfect, and I have, of course, your first name here is Catherine, and last name Medjuri. Do you also go by a middle name or middle initial, or just first and last?
Catherine Marie Medberry is my new UNC chart. North Carolina makes you use your middle name.
Okay.
But
oh, I didn't know that.
In Arizona, it was just Catherine Houston.
Okay, gotcha. So for the purposes of how you'd like to proceed with this case, did you want me to go ahead and put Catherine Marie Medberry?
That's fine, yes.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do that. And what's your social?
No, I know what my social is. I just feel weird giving it out over the phone.
Okay, that is completely okay. I completely understand. The social is only going to be used on these consent forms because, as you know, when the attorneys do request for the medical records, that's the only way that the hospital is actually to release it. But if you prefer and you feel more comfortable this way, I can ask for an exception while we're still on the phone here and can just take the last four if you do feel comfortable giving me just the last four.
I'm totally okay with last four, and I actually worked in the medical field for 25 years, so I know my last four will get you exactly what you need.
Okay, perfect. We can go ahead and do that then.
Okay, 6608.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
And I have an email here already, which is kmhouston1972@gmail.com. Is that still a good email for you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, perfect. And this is the best phone number for you, right?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. And what's the best address for you?
804 Forest Street, Reidsville, North Carolina, 27320.
Okay, and is there apartment number or unit number with that, or is it a house?
It's a house.
Okay, so I'll read that back to you. I have 804 Forest Street, Reidsville, North Carolina, 27320. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And prior to being diagnosed with your meningioma in 2022, were you ever diagnosed with cancer?
Yes.
I'm sorry to hear that. What cancer were you diagnosed with?
Uterine.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
I got diagnosed with it right after my son was born and had to end up having a hysterectomy.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that. Is this the same son that was born in 1993, or is there a son?
Correct.
Okay, got it. So were you diagnosed in 1993 or 1994?
1994.
Do you remember the month by chance?
No.
Okay, I'll just go ahead and put an estimate January 1st of 1994, just as an estimate.
Okay.
And I know that you stated that you did have a hysterectomy after that, but when they did diagnose you, do you recall the stage that you were at? And it's okay if you don't remember, or they didn't tell you. Sometimes they don't tell you.
To the best of my recollection, stage two, because because I was so young, they tried to do uterine ablation to remove the cancer.
Oh.
So I went through two series of that, and the cancer continued to grow back.
Oh, no.
And they were concerned it was going to infiltrate my bladder, so that's when I had the hysterectomy.
I see. Oh, geez, I'm so sorry to hear that. And you had to have that so young.
Yeah, I was in my 20s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, early 20s. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, now the next piece of information that I'm going to get from you is going to be specifically for the meningioma. Back in 2022, I know that you stated that, you know, you had to have an emergency emergency surgery in Chapel Hill. Do you remember the doctor that diagnosed you? Was he at were they at Chapel Hill?
Yes, Abigail Oreggio.
Oreggio. Would you be able to spell that out for me?
Let me get back in my chart.
That's okay. You know what? Let me try to see if I can find it. Oh, I have it. O apostrophe R-E-G-G-I-O.
Yeah, that's
okay.
It.
Okay. Neurologist? Okay. Okay. And you saw her at UNC?
I did.
Okay, got it.
And do you want the name of my surgeon?
He's the one that treated, they're the one that treated you. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Yes, if you have their name ready, I'll take it right here.
Okay, her name was Dr. Saski, S-A-S-K-I, mm-hmm. hyphen Adams, A-D-A-M-S.
Okay, perfect. Deanna. Okay, got it. And you also saw her at Chapel Hill, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, got it.
All of my pre-ops and my surgery and my follow-ups were at Chapel Hill.
Okay, got it.
UNC Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let me go ahead and put my in. Okay. And in terms of who had actually prescribed you the depot shots, do you happen to recall that doctor's name?
I don't have a clue. As I mentioned, I'm in the medical field, so mm-hmm. I worked at TMC Hospital, UNC Hospital, mm-hmm. and Northwest Hospital.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
It would have had to have been a doctor at either TMC, Tucson Medical Center,
mm-hmm.
or a doctor right. at UNC, University Medical Center, which is now called Banner University Medical.
Okay, all right. Okay, got it.
But every time we change hospitals, we have to change networks, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. Okay, and in terms of taking the actual shots, do you know if they were prescribed home to you and you picked them up at a local pharmacy, or did you have them at location?
No, I had to go to the doctor to get them.
Okay, and again, I can go ahead and put both here, but which would you say would have the most likely had the records? Just because I do have to just put one, would it be TMC or Banner?
I'm going to think TMC because that's where I actually had my son.
Okay, got it. Okay, so most likely we'll have your records there. Okay, I'll go ahead and do that then. And that's the one on Grant Road. Okay, perfect. And at UNC, they are going to have the medical records showing your diagnosis of the meningioma. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. And last thing here is I'll just need an emergency contact. Obviously, we're not able to share with them any information about your case at all. It's just so that in case we're not able to reach you at this number, we just like having a secondary one on file.
Okay, well, I can give you permission to share whatever you need with my husband, and I can give you his phone number.
Okay. That would be great. I'll go ahead and put that here in the notes as well. What is your husband's first name?
Jake.
Jake. Okay. Got it. And I am ready for his phone number whenever you
520
have it.
520-612-6745.
I have 520-612-6745. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right, so it looks like we have everything here. I'm going to go ahead and prepare the consent forms. Obviously, you know, you're already well-versed in all of this, but of course, I do want to have you review it before we go ahead and send this over. So
not
what you could do in the meantime is you can go ahead and put me on the speakerphone.
I'm on speaker.
Oh, perfect. Okay, perfect. So I'm going to go ahead and it'll be sent to both your text message and email, whichever notification pops up first or whichever you feel more comfortable with. You can go ahead and click on it as it pops in.
Okay.
Which I'm sure you've already like done these multiple times before being in the field as all and all.
Yeah.
Okay. But I just want to confirm that you are indeed Catherine Marie Medbury, residing at 804 Forest Street, Reidsville, North Carolina, 27320. Is that right?
That's correct.
And you have a date of birth of February 17th, 1972, last four at 6608. Is that all right?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. So I just sent that over. You should see it pop up on your end. And just go ahead and click on the link or click on the notification as it pops in.
Okay. Welcome to DocuSign Message Read Supply.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anna Pham from Mass Tort Strategies wants to send you a DocuSign envelope.
Yep, that's correct.
Correct?
And at the bottom of that, yes, there should be a link that you're able to click on.
There is. I'm clicking it.
Okay, great. And then once you do click that, the first thing it's going to ask is if you agree to SMS messages, just asking if it's okay for us to text you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Perfect. Next one is going to be a security check. They do just want to make sure it's you, so just confirm that that email is correct.
Allow while visiting the site?
Yes. Again, they only ask for this just so that they can document the IP address in which you are signing this, because they want to make sure in case, you know, fraud is, you know, called or anything, they do have the IP address to apply it to. That's all.
Yep. And I appreciate that because it is a little bit weird talking to people I've never met before.
Oh, definitely. And we want to make sure, especially if everything's online, you know, obviously you can't, you know, see us face to face. This kind of gives you that, you know, cyber protection as much as we can possibly do in this meantime.
All right. I'm going to read this, okay?
Yeah,
I know
take
most
your time.
People don't, but...
No. Take your time. I actually prefer when people do, and I prefer when they have questions as well, because I want to make sure that you are fully comfortable with this, because we don't like people having buyer's remorse. Even though there's no money involved at all, we just don't like people, you know, having second thoughts when I could have just gone over it the first time with you.
Right.
Which I'm sure all of this, you know, you've already gone over and you already know exactly what you're signing up for. But again, anything that seems off, just let me know.
Okay. So you can access my documents for 30 days after this consent. Is that correct?
What do you mean for 30 days?
Excuse me. If you elect to create a DocuSign account, you may access the documents for a limited period of time, usually 30 days.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, okay, so you're not looking at the retainer yet. Okay, so that is actually just for DocuSign itself. That means that in terms of for us, there is going to be an expiration for when we can view this document, if not sign. But in terms of the actual document, this is going to count as a legal agreement. So at that point, you are always going to have a record of it, and we are always going to have a record of it as well. So I think the disclosure, the terms that you're looking at is actually for the DocuSign, as in the website that we're utilizing for the retainers, but not the actual retainer itself. Yeah.
So, okay.
So in order to get there, I think you might have to go back a page and then go back to where the retainer is.
This is the first page that opened.
Okay.
Agreement to do business with Affinity Legal, LLP.
Okay,
what,
got it.
You keep referencing a retainer. Am I paying for something?
No, like I said, you're not paying for anything at all. At any point, no one is going to be asking you for a bank account, credit card, or debit card number at all. There's no fee to you up front to be a part of this lawsuit.
Okay, so now you're working really good legal ease on me, because you said no, I don't owe anything up front. So am I then, are you taking a percentage of anything that I would be awarded?
Yes. So if there is a successful settlement, then there is going to be a percentage taken out of it from the law firm. And again, that is going to be in the, which I'm not sure if you're actually looking at the form yet, because I don't actually see on my end that you did open the document yet.
Well, it's open. Acknowledging your access and consent to receive and sign documents electronically. Okay, so then close this. I agree. Okay. Holy cow, this is teeny. Um, Okay, so now I'm in the litigation contract of employment.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so here is where it is. So obviously it has your name. It does show the names of the law firm that you'll be working with. And I'll just go ahead and have you read from here, and you can let me know what questions you have.
Whoa. Only present undivided interest in assignment and claims in the lawsuit, 40%. So 16% to Robin Law, 16% to Pulaski. So you're going to take 40% of my settlement?
That would be correct, yes. The overall split is going to be 60-40. And that's standard for cases like this, which again, if you don't feel comfortable signing, you can go ahead and look for this outside. Most likely you are going to see the same thing. 60-40 is a very standard cut.
So you guys are going to make a killing on this. Yeah, no kidding. All right. My signature is going to look like a toddler.
And that's
never
okay.
Good at signing these.
And there's actually another option as well if you don't prefer, you know, having the one having your actual signature. You can also do select style, and an electronic one could be generated for you. So whichever you feel comfortable with.
Okay. Yep, that's way better.
Yeah. And once you do that, at the bottom left, it'll say adopt and sign.
Okay. And then authorization. Let's see. I'll leave my documentation privilege. Information Act. Why do you guys want to know if I have hepatitis and or STDs? What does that have to do with using Depo-Provera?
Well, we actually didn't ask you for that information at all. This is just the consent forms, just letting you know that it is going to include information on there on the basis that we do pull your records. If you were never tested, then it wouldn't show up on your records. They're just giving you
a headset. Oh, no, I've been tested. I'm negative. I've been tested. They force you in Arizona to get tested every year.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay. Yeah, but a bit, yeah, so I actually, yeah, if you actually remember, I didn't actually ask you those questions. This is just that when we do pull your records, it may indicate that. So this is just you acknowledging that if that does pop up, you are aware of it ahead of time. That's all.
Okay. That's funny. Okay. I took that HIPAA 30-day deadline. Okay, why are the lines blank and ahead of where it says should receive any and all correspondence, including invoices, labor costs? Why is that blank? Is that for the individual attorney to fill out?
So the actual attorney that is licensed, they're going to be able to input this information when they actually do send the forms. So what they actually do first is they actually call in first or request for the department. Then at that point, they are advised because obviously, as you know, working at many different places, different people have different requirements. They don't want to get it wrong and then have to have you re-sign a form just because they got it wrong on their end. They don't want to, you know, have you go through
okay.
that and suffer through that when they could just do it correctly the very first time, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay, so I see that it's completed on your end. I know there's a continue button on your side, but you can actually just exit out of that. We don't require you to create an account with DocuSign.
Perfect. Got it. I'm out.
Great. Everything looks good here. Okay, and that's basically it. In a moment here, Catherine, I am going to text you with my direct number. So in case you ever have questions or want updates in the future, you can feel free to reach out to me directly. It's my direct number. And at this point, someone from the law firm is going to be contacting you. Usually within the next 4 days. So just be on the lookout for that. And again, they just have like a 5-minute introductory phone call with you, and then they start pulling your records, and then they start going from there, okay?
Okay, understood.
Okay, perfect. Well, I appreciate your time. Again, I'm so sorry to hear about what you've gone through, but we do look forward to getting you some justice here on your case, okay?
Okay, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, and happy holidays, okay?
You too. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Bye-bye.